Holy is the Lord. Praise God. Well, in the last service, the 6 o'clock service, we just completed a teaching called Warring Without Entanglements. And we saw that the scriptures tell us to fight the good fight of faith. And we saw that to fight the good fight of faith, you have to be a good soldier. To be a good soldier, number one thing is obedience. Every soldier has to be obedient. Number two, you have to know your weapons and keep them ready to be used. Number three is you have to bring your body under submission. And so, to know your weapons is an integral part of being a good soldier. And we're all soldiers in the army of Christ. We're all part of the standing army left here by Jesus Christ to maintain the peace and to keep the enemy, Satan, and his minions in check and under our feet. And we've not been doing a good job, but we're going to do a better job. Amen? Amen. And to do that, we need to know our weapons. And one of the primary weapons is prayer. So tonight, we want to talk about prayer. This is an overview of prayer. So, let's jump right into it. Basics of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. Sometimes we even listen. Okay? Really, what God desires is fellowship. God walked and talked with Adam. He walked and talked with Abraham. He walked and talked with, well, he talked with Moses. I don't know if he walked with him. I guess he did to some extent. And God wants to walk and talk with you and me. He wants fellowship. That's why he's chosen us to be his tabernacle. That's why he's chosen to live inside us. Now, apart from conversing with God, which is a form of prayer, most prayers involve some kind of change in the circumstances of what you see or hear, or in your action, or the action of something, like an animal's action, or your thought. And in thought, I include desires and goals and so forth. So most prayer are geared around creating some kind of a change. In this teaching, we have isolated 12 types of prayers, 12 types of prayers. Each type of prayer has its own rules and its own purpose. What do I mean by rules? Well, you know, if you were playing basketball and there were five of you on the team, and one got confused and was using the rules of football, the game wouldn't go so well, right? So we all need to know how the prayers work. What game are you playing? And all the directions for praying are in the scriptures. So for the purpose of teaching, we've isolated 12. You know, different people might choose to reorganize them a different way. They might come up with 8, they might come up with 15. I chose to group them in terms of 12. So on page 2, we have the 12. So, 12 types of prayers on the back, on page 2. The most important, the most commonly used, is the prayer of faith or the prayer of petition. The best place to see it and to understand it is Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Some translation says, whatever you desire and pray, pray believing that you receive, you shall have them. Other translation says, whatever you have prayed and believe that you received, when you prayed, you shall have them. Okay? So that is prayer of faith or the prayer of petition. It's asking God for something for yourself. What thing so of your desire? Notice the word thing. We all know what a thing is, right? A thing is not a person. So we don't pray and say, Lord, I pray that you give me that person for my wife. It doesn't work. Okay? That's more like witchcraft. So a thing is not a person. John 16:23 says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. So we pray the petition prayer in the name of Jesus to the Father. And John 16:24 says, Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. God wants to give you all the things you need so that your joy may be full. If your joy is not full, perhaps you're not praying correctly. Affirmations. Next one is the prayer of affirmation, which around ABC is very, very big. We really emphasize it. Affirmation is declaring the word of God over yourself or your circumstances. In a sense, it's prophesying. It's predicting, it's prophesying the end from the beginning. It's calling things that be not as though they are. It's speaking God's word over yourself and your circumstances. Hebrews 10:23 says, do not forget the profession of your faith. Or the confession of your faith, some translations say. The Amplified, I think, says, the confession of your faith. Your faith is, I believe this promise of God. I believe that God says I should have a job. And my confession of the faith is, thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you have given me a job. Past tense. Confession of your faith. I believe the Bible says I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My confession of my faith is, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Titus 3 verse 8 says that you should affirm constantly these truths. Affirm constantly. Speak them constantly. In Mark 5:28 in the Amplified, the lady with the issue of blood, King James says that the lady said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. But the Amplified says, more specifically, she kept saying, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She kept saying it. She kept affirming it. And she touched the hem of his garment. She was healed. And later on, a couple of chapters along in Mark, you see that other people copied her, and they also got their healing. They also touched the hem of his garment, and they also got their healing. 1 Peter 2:24, we all know that. We affirm it. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Even when you're in a challenge, you can affirm it. It's like maintenance in your car. Don't wait until you're challenged to affirm healing scriptures. You know, you take vitamins and minerals. Well, take gospels, right? Gospels. Take gospels, okay? Okay. So that's the prayer of faith and the prayer of affirmation. Next one, I've lumped them together. The prayer of agreement or the prayer of unity. Now, agreement is where two or more agree on anything in the name of Jesus. That's Matthew 18:19. If two of you agree in the name of Jesus, that is the prayer of agreement. And Jesus says, it shall come to pass. Unity is where a group agrees on a result. They may not even be praying in the name of Jesus. In fact, what they're agreeing on may have negative or sinful effects. But if the group is in one accord, it shall come to pass. Genesis 11, verse 6. God says, they're building this Tower of Babel. And now the people are in one accord. Now they're in unity. And nothing shall be impossible for them. That's the power of unity. Prayer of authority. Authority is demanding or declaring. Notice the word demanding or declaring. It is not asking God for something. It's demanding or declaring a change in circumstances or the occurrence of an event, or the obedience of nature, animals, or spiritual beings, angels, demons, devils, based on the rights which you have received in the name of Jesus. God has given us the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. And vested in the name of Jesus are certain rights that accrue to you. And when you speak in the name of Jesus, these rights, which include authority and dominion, come into being. You make them effective. You loose the power that's in the name of Jesus. An example was, in the name of Jesus, Jesus spoke to the storm. No, he didn't say in the name of Jesus, but when we do it, we say in the name of Jesus, because we're standing there in his stead. We're standing there in his place. We're standing there with the power of attorney to use his name. Jesus looked at the storm and said, peace be still. You know, I was actually given the wonderful opportunity of crossing the Sea of Galilee with a bunch of Christians on a boat, and I was given the wonderful opportunity to teach. And guess what I'd spoken? Faith. Right? Faith. And there's a small storm coming up, and I said, peace be still. But I said it quietly. But it worked. It worked. Okay? It did work. Okay? Even though I said it quietly. Now, great place to see the prayer of authority is in Mark 11:23. 24 is a prayer of faith. 23 is a prayer of authority. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Okay? Prayer of authority. Another place to see the prayer of authority is in John 14:14. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. No, that's not obviously as the prayer of authority. Until you look at what the word ask is used there. That word ask is actually a higher level of translation would be demand. Whatever you demand in my name, I will do it. And the do it is not a simple do. It is, I will give it to you, and if it doesn't exist, I'll make it for you. So Jesus is saying, when you use my name, you can command anything, and it's going to be done. It's going to be done for you. Okay? Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee in three worlds shall bow at the name of Jesus. And you have the right to use that name. Another example of the prayer of authority is Mark 16, verse 17. In the name of Jesus, you can cast out demons. That's what it says. These signs shall follow believers. In my name, they shall cast out demons. Cast them out of your house. Cast them out of your life. Cast them out of your city. Number five is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is used in the armor of God, and in particular, the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. Spiritual warfare is going up against the world of darkness and having them be obedient to you by getting rid of them and not having any fear. And you have no fear because when you understand your rights in Jesus, and know how afraid they are of the name of Jesus, you won't be in fear. As much as the demons trying to get people to be afraid of them, the truth is, the demons are the ones who are afraid of the name of Jesus. And they are afraid of Christians who use the name of Jesus. So if demons try to scare you at night with bad dreams or whatever they do, just say, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And if you're in a hurry, just yell the name of Jesus. So spiritual warfare is commonly talked about in the context of intercessory prayer, where you're praying for somebody or some situation, or even yourself. And it's normally talked about in terms of praying in tongues. Romans 8:26 says you don't know how to pray, and the Holy Spirit will pray through you, basically using tongues, with words that cannot be uttered. But notice the key. It says, if you don't know how to pray. But if you know, you don't know how to pray if you don't know the problem and or the solution. Many times we have an unction to pray. We know something is wrong, and we may not know what's wrong. And if we don't know what's wrong, we don't know what caused it or how to stop it. So we pray in tongues. But there are many situations where you know what's wrong and you know the solution. Somebody is sick. They got a physical challenge in their body. Well, you know the problem. They're sick. You know the solution. They've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So instead of praying in tongues, you do affirmations. Now, you can pray in tongues to help build them up in spirit or build yourself up. But to attack the challenge, affirmation is much faster and much more effective, much more powerful. So you do tongues for intercession when you don't know either the problem or the solution. If you know both the problem and the solution, affirmations is much better. In any case, they're both parts of spiritual warfare. As can be, with praise and worship, dancing before the Lord, all those things, confessing your sins, these are all part of spiritual warfare. Then there's personal prayers. There's what we call the ABC morning prayer, where we use binding and loosing. In the name of Jesus, we loose into our life this day and the life of our family, the will of our Heavenly Father, the powers of heaven, and the angels of God. And we bind from us this day Satan and every demon, devil, and evil spirit. That's a wonderful way to start your day off. Then there's Psalm 23 and Psalm 91 for protection. There's Ephesians 1, verses 17 through 23 for revelation knowledge. There's Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21, which is for growing in love. Then there is Colossians 1:9-11 for guidance and for patience. And the 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 and 5 for cleansing. Cleansing, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So these are all part of personal prayers. Prayer number 7 is thanksgiving. Philippians 4 verse 6. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And once you do that, next verse says, the peace of God will keep your heart and mind. So thanksgiving is a major form of prayer. Consecration. Consecration is where you say, if it's your will. You know, if it's your will, I consecrate my life to you and I choose to become a monk living in Monkville. Okay? That's consecration, if it is your will. The only times you really use if it is your will should be in consecration, if it is your will. If it is your will, I'm going to take this trip to China and get all the tea in China. Okay? So consecration is if it's your will. The other prayer should be based on promises of God, so we already know His will. Prayer of faith should be based on a promise of God. If it's a promise of God, it's His will. So you don't have to say, if it's your will. You just pray, Father, here's your promise, says I should have a job. So in the name of Jesus, I ask you for a job. The great example of consecration is Matthew 26:39. If it is your will, in the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass from me. And we often do that. If it's your will, I'm going to take my last $10 and give it to this hungry person. Scripture says, if you give to the poor, you lend unto the Lord and give your $10 away. Dedication. Dedication is when you take all your possessions, things, money, home, whatever you have, and you give it to God. You dedicate it to Him. My home is your home, Lord. Do what you will in my home. My car belongs to you. I'll never use it to do something sinful, and I will always drive it along the roads of righteousness. Right? Deuteronomy 20 verse 5 is an example of dedicating homes and property. Praise and worship. Let everything praise the Lord. We are things. I mean, we are beings, so we exist. Okay? Let everything praise the Lord. We should praise God. Psalm 150 verse 6. Then this conversation we talked about. John 14:23 says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And Genesis 18:17-23 talks about Abraham and God discussing Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham is negotiating with God, trying to save it. And then tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2-4 say, if you pray in an unknown tongue, it's unknown to man, so you're not talking to man. If it's unknown, you're talking to God. If you pray in an unknown tongue, you're talking to God. And verse 4 says, it edifies you, it builds you up, it strengthens you. Jude 20 also tells you that praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, strengthens you and builds you up. So here are 12 forms of prayer that we've used. Some of them are multiple. Which ones are not there? Well, we don't have on here the prayer of forgiveness. Prayer of confessing your sins. That's the prayer. It's not on here. There are other ones that are not on here. Okay? But there's some fundamental ones here that serve a purpose because you can contrast one with the other. Okay? So let's go back to page 1. We're in part 1C in page 1. We just looked at the different types of prayer and some of the rules. Now, the foundation of all prayers. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, when we're praying, we certainly want to please God. But Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. So it tells you, prayer must involve faith. In fact, it involves faith in at least two levels. One is that you need faith for the prayer to be effective. But you can't even come. Hebrews 11:6 says you can't even come to God without faith. So just coming to God before you start speaking requires faith. Faith to come to God. Faith to pray to God. faith to believe that God is listening to you, faith to believe that God is interested in you, faith to believe that the promises of God are true, and then faith to believe that God has kept his word and answered the prayer that you prayed. A lot of faith. And that's how prayer works. It's all faith. Prayer without faith is you're wasting your breath. So that means you should know what faith is and how it works. That's why we have so many sets of teaching here in faith. So the foundation of all prayer is faith. Putting this another way, the prayer of faith is the foundation of all prayers. Now, you say, but the prayer of consecration is, if it's your will, you know, let this happen. If it's your will, let me do this. That's kind of contradictory to the concept of the prayer of faith. Because the prayer of faith says you know his will, and then you pray it. The prayer of faith is, you find a promise of God, you know it's his will, and then you ask God for it. Consecration is you don't know his will. You don't know what he wants. That's why you're consecrating yourself and said, if it is your will, that's what we're going to do. They seem kind of contradiction. But they're not. They're still based on faith. Because when you say, Lord, if it is your will, well, you still have to have the faith to come to God. You still have to believe he exists. You still have to have the faith to pray. And you still need the faith to believe that when you pray, he hears you. And that's the key. You have to have the faith to believe he hears you. And then you have to have the faith to understand that once you pray and he hears you, then you can move on. Because if you can't move on, then you'll be sitting there all the time saying, Lord, you know, if it's your will, take this cup from me. But there's a time where you do it and then you move on. And you trust him. That even if you didn't hear him, he's now in charge. He's going to take care of you along that particular route. So regardless of which prayer you pray, you need the concept of the prayer of faith, which is that when you pray, God hears you, and God will take an action based on it. You may not know what action it is because you may not know what his will is for certain kind of prayers. But you know that he's heard you, and he will take an action, and he's now in control of you, and he's going to guide you. The essence of the prayer of faith, if you take all the prayer of faith and boil it down to its essence, the essence is that God hears you when you pray. You must believe that God hears you when you pray. You must also believe that God is not a liar and that God cannot break his oath or his promise. So you must believe this regardless of what you're praying. It is necessary, it's absolutely necessary to believe that God has heard your prayer when you pray. If your prayer is a prayer of faith, praying for a specific thing in his promise, then you've got it. It's done. If it's praying for his guidance, then you may not see his guidance fall on the table in front of you as a written note or written on the wall, but you know he's going to guide you. You must know he's going to do it, and you must believe he's going to do it. And if you don't know what his will is, you still have to believe that he's going to work it out according to his will for you and for the better good. So let's talk about the prayer of faith. Hebrews 11:1 defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. That is the definition of faith. Since you and I cannot please God without faith, and since that's the definition of faith, it behooves every person who wants to be a good soldier in the army of God to know that scripture, know where to find it, and memorize it. If you have trouble memorizing, then you ask God. You say, ask God to help you memorize it, and you declare, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I can memorize it. But it's like my telling you that I have put $10 million into Bank of America for you. And all you need to go get it is this checkbook. And you don't know where you put the checkbook. The bank of heaven is available to you. And all you need to open it is Hebrews 11:1. If you know Hebrews 11:1, you can operate just based on Hebrews 11:1. But if you know Hebrews 11:1 in conjunction with Mark 11:24, it becomes really easy to do it. I mean, if there's anybody who came to you and says, you know, Pastor Joshua gave me $10 million and gave me a key to the safety deposit box where it is, and I don't know where I put the key. They would think you're really, what? Raised is a nice word, okay? People just don't do that. But I'm saying to you that Hebrews 11:1 is more important than the key to a safety deposit box with $10 million. Because it's your key to the bank of heaven, which has, I've been told, more than $10 million in there. So, Hebrews 11:1 defines faith as the substance of things hoped for. What does that mean? It means your faith is the title deed to God's promise. If God has promised you your healing, your health, your finances, a home, a bicycle, a car, whatever it is that God has promised you in His Word, that you can derive from His Word, then your title deed for it, your pink slip for it, is Hebrews 11:1. It's your faith. Mark 11:24, the prayer of faith, states that you must believe that you received at the point in time when you prayed. The key to Mark 11:24 is that you believe you receive at the moment when you pray. If you believe that you receive, you can check yourself. If you believe you receive, then you'll find yourself talking as if it's a done deal. You'll find yourself acting as if it's a done deal. If you find yourself still looking for the answer in the future, then you have not believed. You have given it mental assent. You have mentally agreed with it, but you're still looking for the answer. Let me say it again. That if you prayed and then you doubted, it means you doubt that it was done when you prayed. And therefore, because you doubt it was done, you will act as if it's not done. You will speak as if it's not done. And you're looking for it in the future to see it done in the future. What you're looking for in the future is to see the physical reality of what you prayed for. In other words, the sickness is gone. The job is here. There's money in your checking account. That you're waiting for the physical reality of the money in your checking account, of the doctor to say you've been healed before you believe the Bible. That won't work. You got to believe the Bible first, and once you believe the Bible, then eventually the money will get in your checking account. Eventually the doctor will say, yes, you're right, you were healed by the stripes of Jesus. But you got to believe it's done, because God says, when you prayed, I will believe it's done. As long as you keep putting it in the future, you won't get the answer. It has to be, I prayed, it's a done deal, it's finished. I'm going to live, walk, talk, because I believe it. I won't have any doubts. I won't speak any doubts. Doubts may come to your mind, but that's okay. You just ignore them. But no doubt should come out your mouth, and no doubt should come into your action. You walk and you talk as if you believe it's done, because God said it's done when you pray. John 16:23 tells us to ask our Heavenly Father. So whatever you desire, when you pray to your Heavenly Father, believe that you receive it. Believe it's done. Then you speak and talk as if it's done. So, summarizing, the prayer of faith requires that you desire something based on a promise of God. Promise of God could be 1 Peter 2:24, you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It could be Philippians 4:19, my God supplies all my need. It could be God says go get a job, which means He wants you to have a job. That's His promise. Whatever you want, God will provide it. God would not tell you to do something and not help you get it. So you find the promise, and then you ask your Heavenly Father for it, and you believe that God will keep His promise. God says, how much more compared to your earthly father will I give you good things when you ask? When you ask. So you believe that when you ask, it's done. The prayer of faith is asking God for something for yourself. Notice the word thing. It's asking God for something for yourself. So it's a thing. Thing as opposed to people. The prayer of faith is not meant to ask for people. It's not meant to change people's minds. It's not meant to force people to do things. It's a thing. And it's for yourself, not for somebody else. Now, there are times when you can get by saying, you know, Lord, my great desire right here is that my sister get a job. And you pray that for her because it's your desire. But technically, it's not for you. What is for you is the enjoyment or the satisfaction that she got a job. Can a prayer where you're praying for a job for your sister really should involve prayer of agreement between both of you? But there are times when you can, in fact, sometimes under certain circumstances, actually pray for something because it's your desire the person has it. But you're really praying for the fulfillment of your desire. You're still, Mark 11:24, it's for the fulfillment of your desire, just that your desire is an object going to somebody else. Okay, prayer of dominion. The prayer of dominion is based on your knowledge of your rights in Christ Jesus. It's based on your knowledge of your rights in Christ Jesus. So the prayer of dominion is based on your knowledge of your rights in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:15-17 gives you an idea of this. It says, God has not given you the spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba Daddy. Now that we are children of God, we are also joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So it's telling you, that we are joint heirs with Jesus. Joint heirs mean whatever Jesus has, we also have. We also own. And the scriptures make it clear that everything God has belongs to Jesus. So your rights in Christ Jesus include anything you can see or think about. It's just whatever there is belongs to Jesus, and you're seated with him in heavenly places, and you have authority and dominion over it. So the prayer of dominion is not asking God for something. The prayer of faith is asking God for something. The prayer of dominion is not asking God for something. The prayer of faith is asking for something. The prayer of dominion is not even directed to God. The prayer of dominion is demanding or commanding something or some being. The prayer of faith is directed to God, and you're asking God to do something, or you're asking God that something be done. The prayer of dominion is not even directed to God. It's directed to something around you. And you are commanding it or directing it to do something. The prayer of dominion is using the authority given to you in the name of Jesus. You have the authority in the name of Jesus to issue commands. So, give some examples. Isaiah 45:11. God says, concerning your sons, ask me about them. And also, concerning the works of my hand, you command me. Well, what are the works of his hand? Everything. He created everything. God created everything. So concerning the works of the hand, you command me. Which command? You bring back to him the things he's told you to command. And God's word never fails. So whatever he's told you to command, whatever he's told you to have dominion over, whatever he's commanded you to direct, you bring that back by speaking to it, and God will see it is done. Now remember, that's an old covenant promise. Mark 11:23. Whosoever say unto this mountain, be thou removed. If you believe that God's words are true, and you know that God's word says, whoever speaks to the mountain, that it shall move, then you have no problem. You speak to the mountain. You don't even have to bring God into it. You say, mountain, move in Jesus' name. No, that mountain is part of the works of God's hand. And you're commanding the mountain to move because you have faith that God will keep his word. And it's God's word that said, if you speak to the mountain, it's moved. So that's a more New Testament example of concerning the work of my hand, command you me. Again, the work of his hand is the mountain. He made it. And you are speaking to the mountain. But in speaking to the mountain, you are invoking what he said, which is, if you speak to the mountain, it will move. So concerning the work of his hand, you are, in a sense, commanding God by bringing his own words of command back to him. So Mark 11:23, speak to the mountain and we'll go. What kind of mountain? A real physical mountain? A mountain of cancer? A mountain of poverty? A mountain of a bad temper? A mountain of talking too much? Whatever the mountain in your life, you speak to it. And it will go. Some will go instantly. Some may take a while. But they'll go. John 14:14. Whatever you demand in the name of Jesus, Jesus will see that it's done. And if it doesn't have it, if it doesn't exist. No, you understand? If he said if he doesn't have it, that means it doesn't exist. Because everything that exists belongs to him. In other words, if you are so imaginative that you think of something that doesn't exist, Jesus said, I'll make it for you. That's pretty powerful. Amen? I mean, who thought of ever telling his son to go backwards? Right? But it happened. Son went backwards. That's pretty imaginative. God kept his word. He did it. Who would ever consider his son could go backwards? But a man did. Spoke it. And his son went backwards. Some scriptures documenting the transfer of authority and dominion to you. We're going to look at some of them. So there are many scriptures that tell you that all authority and dominion belong to you. Let's look at some of them. Remember, the key here is the prayer of faith is directed towards God. You're asking God to do something. Specifically, you're asking God for something that you want. And when you ask God for something you want, you believe you receive it, it will show up in the future. It could be healing for yourself. It could be money. It could be a new car. The prayer of dominion is not geared towards God. It's geared towards something in your circumstances, which something could be a spiritual being, an animal, a falling rock out of the sky, a turtle. So let's look at some scriptures that support this. In fact, why don't you all? So, Genesis 1:26 and 20 says, God is giving us authority and dominion over everything that moves upon the earth. And we should subdue the earth. Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to him and heaven and earth. Before Genesis 1:26 was on the earth. Now it's heaven and earth. Heaven is on the earth. Now you go in my name. There is the power of attorney to go in his name, accessing all the authority and power. Okay, Mark 16:17-18. In my name you shall cast out demons. It's telling you, in my name you shall cast out demons. Not in my name you ask me to do it. In my name you cast out demons. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power and the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts 3:16. It's the name of Jesus, by the power in the name of Jesus. What has healed this man is the name of Jesus through your faith in the name of Jesus. So it's saying, the name of Jesus healed the man. The name of Jesus can do anything. But you need to have faith in that name. You need to have faith in it, and you need to understand what the name represents. In the name of Jesus, you can do anything. And you have the legal right to use it. And say, no, the name of Jesus healed the man. The man was instantly healed through the name of Jesus because the person who spoke it had faith in the name. So those are all authority scriptures. So let's close by contrasting the prayer of faith and the prayer of dominion. Asking God versus commanding things. Which one is the asking God? Prayer of faith, okay? Versus commanding. So the prayer of faith is asking God versus commanding things, circumstances, nature, animals, angels, demons, Satan, sickness, disease, cancer, and even your own body. All these you can command. You can command your heart rate to go down to a normal level. You can command your body weight to go down. You can command your body to be comfortable even though the temperature is excessive. All these things we've done. A few summers ago, the transformer outside was knocked out in a very hot summer. And my wife and I just established a kingdom of God and speak coolness in the house. We had no problem. Next day we talked to the guy. He says, if they don't fix it today, I'm moving into a motel because I can't take the heat. Which heat? We were comfortable. Or next to a neighbor, okay? Okay, contrasting the prayer of faith and the prayer of dominion. Receiving something for yourself, what is that? That's the prayer of faith. Versus receiving obedience through establishing dominion, prayer of dominion. Obedience. Whatever you speak to is going to be obedient to you. You tell the fire, don't come over that hill. Syria did that. Fire didn't come over the hill. Okay? Syria and Elena did that. Fire didn't come over the hill. My brother. Fire's coming up towards his house. Told it, don't come up here. Tons of examples of speaking things. We had an ABC who spoke to this hurricane that was bearing down in Kingston. And we agreed with her. And it came up to 50 miles from Kingston. And suddenly veered west. And AP and UPR, direct quotation. One said that it stormed up towards Kingston, Jamaica. And 50 miles from Kingston, it suddenly stopped. It lurched to the left like a drunken sailor. That's an exact quotation from the newspaper. The other one said, it charged up to 50 miles from Jamaica and went along Jamaica 50 miles out as if there was an invisible barrier around Jamaica. Okay? And the person has not only has those texts, but they have satellite image of the hurricane and the path it took. Now, both the prayer of faith and the prayer of dominion are prayed once. In both cases, you believe it's done when you prayed. And so they can both be followed in spiritual warfare by affirmations and whatever else you do in spiritual warfare. Great example is when Jesus spoke to the fig tree and it died. And we can take that same example and we can speak to cancer in our body and curse it and it dies. You can speak to tumors in your body, curse them and they die. You can speak to well, we often do that, right? We declare in the name of Jesus every germ, disease, virus, parasite, and bacteria, every microorganism, fungus, or mold, potentially harmful to us, dies in contact with the body. That's the prayer of authority being couched as an affirmation. Any questions? You understand what I'm saying is this. To walk in victory as a Christian, you need to understand both the prayer of faith and the prayer of dominion.